All right, this morning we're going to be in a passage in Luke chapter 17, and this is one of those passages that generally comes out a lot of times around Thanksgiving, because it's the 10 lepers and they were healed and one comes back to give thanks. And so we're going to be in that passage this morning, and it's really amazing how God works when we watch or when we listen, but it is so much more amazing when sometimes when we don't listen and He says, you're going to listen. And that's kind of what happened earlier this week. I felt like this was the passage, you know, it kind of leaned towards it because of Thanksgiving. But I felt like this was the passage that I was going to share this morning. And so I studied it all out and I wrote it down and I gave Melissa the title that said 10%, you know, because I'm thinking, well, 10% of the people went and thanked Him, you know, out of this group. And then I woke up early Thanksgiving morning and said, it's not about that 10% because you're not in that 10%. It's about the others. That's where you're at. Don't be preaching about that one 10% that came back and did everything right because you're not there. You need to look and see where you're at in this passage. And so I got up that morning about 5 o'clock and went and sat and prayed and read and wrote notes. And I couldn't get back to sleep because I knew that God had said to me, you're in that 90% that's not doing what you're supposed to. And I don't want it to feel like I'm always preaching that we are not being what God wants us to be. Shame on us. I don't want it to ever feel like I'm beating you with the Scripture. But I also want us to understand that I am not where God wants me to be. And honestly, you're probably not where God wants you to be either. And the only way we're going to understand that is if we take the Scripture and we put it right in front of us and we understand that God is saying, this is what I desire of your life. This is what I have for you to live like. And so we are going to be in Luke 17. We'll start in verse 11. And so if you would read along with me. It says, on the way to Jerusalem, it's talking about Jesus, He was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And He entered a village, and He was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. And they lifted up their voice, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When He saw them, He said to them, go and show yourself to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving Him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And He said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I just come before You and I thank You and praise You for the opportunity to open Your Word. Lord, may none of this be from me. Lord, teach me, teach us what it is You have for us. Lord, open Your Word with Your Spirit. Make it come alive to us. Help us to not walk away from this place the same because we had an encounter with You. Lord, I pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit on Your Word, that it would change us to be who You desire us to be. In Your name we pray. Amen. As I said, a lot of times this passage is preached or taught around Thanksgiving because it focuses on that one guy, that one Samaritan that makes us all look bad. He comes back and when he sees he's healed, he comes back and he thanks Jesus. But this morning, I want us to look because I think sometimes these other 9 get a bad rap. Because they're usually only talked about in the fact that they didn't come back. These other 9 didn't come back. But I want us to look at the whole group a little bit deeper and then also focus a little bit more on those 9. Because I think that's probably where most of us are at some point in our lives, is in that group of 9. And so as we look at this, let's look at these 10. They all had a problem. and their problem was leprosy. Now, leprosy, as it's written in the Bible, is not always that disease that we think of when they say they were a leper and they were unclean. Sometimes in the Bible, it's just another skin disease. But in this case, it was a disease that was unclean. It made you spiritually unclean. You were ceremonially unclean. You couldn't be in any part of worship. It also made you socially unclean. You had to, when somebody was coming, you had to stand up and you had to scream out in a loud voice, "Unclean, unclean," so that people wouldn't come near you, because it was a death penalty if you let somebody come up and you were contagious and they caught the leprosy because you did not warn them. And so they all 10 had this problem. The reason we know that is because, one, the Bible tells us, but two, they're living outside the city gate. They were social outcasts because of their disease. And as we look at that, we can see a couple different things. The leprosy, of course, was visual. They could see. Other people could see. And other people were the ones that cast them out. They were ostracized. They were put out of the city because we don't want that problem to keep going. And so they were socially outcast to one extent. But then there was another group of people that they were okay with the fact that they were lepers. And you know who those people were? Other lepers. The one Samaritan here that we know about, or any of those other 9, they really didn't care that they were hanging around other lepers. They're the same as I am. They have the same disease I have. They have the same problem I'm dealing with. They were kicked out of the city, and so at least I have somebody like me to hang around with. That's their mentality. So you've got those people that don't want them because they have a problem. Then you've got those people that want them because they have the same problem as me. But yet they also have themselves. And as they begin to look at themselves, they knew they had a problem. And they had to choose to live with that problem in one of two ways. And here, this is one of the only places in the Bible that tells us that they called out any time other than just saying, "Unclean, unclean." So if a leper that was content to understand that I'm going to have leprosy all of my life, and somebody was coming up, they would just say in a loud voice, "Unclean, unclean. Don't come around me. I've got a problem." But these 10 here are a little bit different, because this is the time it's recorded that they say, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." It doesn't say anything about them crying out and saying, "Unclean, unclean." No, they were crying out for help. They were crying out for mercy. They were not satisfied to stay a leper all their life. They were in a special case of lepers. And you think, what do you mean a special case? Well, can you imagine anybody being content to be a leper? But any other time that leprosy is talked about throughout the Bible, it's just unclean, unclean. I can't do anything about it. I'm just going to have to live with my leprosy. But here, we know something about these guys that we really may not realize. And that's what I want to point out today. When I said we're all in that 9, it's not a terrible 9. It's just a 9 that is different than that 1. And so as we look at these guys, they all had the same problem. They all had leprosy. They all been kicked out of town. They all had to just put up with their leprosy. But they all had the same opportunity as well. They had the same opportunity to cry out to Jesus. And it's not an accident that Jesus comes to this city. The scholars believe that he had just raised Lazarus, and so, getting away from the mobs, whether it was the religious leaders that were out to kill him or people that were trying to make him king, he was leaving. And so he went a roundabout way to head to Jerusalem. And it says that he went over by Samaria and Galilee. And as he does that, he just happens to show up with these 10 lepers? No. Jesus never just happens to show up. It's always intentional on his part. Because when these guys cry out, "Jesus, have Master, have mercy on us," he didn't have to ask what the problem was. He knew. When he saw them, he said, "Go and show yourself to the priests." Now, this tells us something else about these 10 guys. Now, we know, it's going to tell us later, that one was a Samaritan. And he came back. But what does that tell us about these other 9? Jesus tells them, "Go show yourself to the priest." Well, that was something that was a Jewish custom. The only people that could pronounce a person clean from leprosy was the priests. And the only people that would do that were Jews. So that tells us probably the majority of these other 9 are Jews. They're religious Jews because they knew that when they were told by Jesus to go to show themselves to the priest, they knew what the reason was. They knew that you had to go and offer a sacrifice, and they knew that the priest was the only one that could pronounce him clean. They knew the Jewish customs. So they were probably religious people. So you got religious Jews here, and we know we got one Samaritan. But when Jesus says, "Go and show yourself to the priest," it takes these Jews from a different... They're not just religious Jews that are following the law. They're now religious Jews who are following Jesus. They're taking Jesus at His word. They didn't say, "Well, why are we going to go show the priest? You haven't healed us yet." They took Jesus at His word and went. So, we've got some pretty good guys here. Yeah, they've got leprosy, they've got their problems, but they're pretty good guys because they're religious Jews that believed in Jesus. They probably didn't get any better than that. But that's what they did. And so they had the same opportunity as this other guy. But it's usually missed that they have the same faith as this one Samaritan. Think about that. Jesus tells them all 10 to go. And they don't just wait and watch. They all go. They go and they do what Jesus said. They believed in Jesus enough. They believed in the fact they called Him Master. They knew who He was. He told them to go and show themselves to the priests. And that's exactly what they do. They all cry out. He tells all of them to go. They all go. And they're all healed. So think about that for just a minute. At this point, we always separate these 9 and this one. But at this point, they are the same. They all have a faith in Jesus. They all believe that if they do what Jesus said, they will be healed. They are not bad guys. They are good church-going people. Now, I didn't have to say that, did I? Could have went a lot of different ways. But that's really what they were. They believed in Jesus. They were going to do what Jesus said. And when they did what Jesus said, it says that as they went, they were healed. And so we know that they had faith. Or they'd have never been healed from their problem. And so to this point, they're all the same. They're 10 people that believed in Jesus, that left this place, the city gate, and went and were healed. And of course, you know that this is where their faith doesn't change. What do we know about these 9 guys? We know that they went on and probably told the priests and testified. Jesus sent us here, and Jesus said that if we'll come tell you, that we'll be healed. And they were healed. And so they did exactly what Jesus told them to do. They did exactly what Jesus told them to do. He said go. They went. They were healed. They went to the priest and they testified that Jesus had spoken and sent them, and they were healed. And so they were doing exactly what Jesus said. So why do we give them such a hard time? Because so many times in my life, God tells me something to do and I don't do it. I look for another way around. I look for something else to do. But Jesus specifically gave them something to do. Go show yourself to the priests. And that's exactly what they did. But you know, sometimes as Christians, we miss out. We can be that good group of people in that group of nine here. We can be those good Christian people. We can be those good church-going, believing in Jesus, faith-living people. And we still miss out. Because these guys missed out. And what did they miss out on? We know that when this one, it says, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back. He wasn't doing anything wrong, but he turned back to Jesus. There's times when you and I, we're not doing anything wrong, but they really weren't going towards Jesus. They weren't doing anything for Jesus. I want to put myself in their spot for just a minute and kind of talk through this, and maybe you'll see where I'm coming from. Because I'm in this group, and Jesus says, go and you'll be healed. Well, man, I want to be healed, so I'm going. And I'm going to find the priest, and I'm going to tell him. And I'll speak up, and I'll tell what Jesus did for me. But man, then I get my life back. I'll be able to live in society. I'll be able to go back to my family. I'll be able to do all the things I wanted to do that I could never do because I was an outcast. But now I'm going to be able to go back and do all that stuff I wanted to do. But this one Samaritan, it's not about him. He said, it's not about me being healed. It's about the healer. It's about Jesus. It's not about me getting my life back. It's about Jesus. Stop and think about that for just a minute, because too many times in my life, when I accepted Christ and surrendered my life to him, going from someone that's lost to someone accepted Christ and is saved for all eternity. At that point, you know, sometimes I want to live my life. And I don't go back to him the way I should. Look again at this man. He turns back. It says, after he turns back, he's praising God with a loud voice. Well, the others, they were going to tell people. I'm going to go tell the priest that I've been healed of my leprosy. Praise God. And they're going to go, and they're going to go to the priest, and they're going to tell them this. But what does this guy do? He doesn't care about telling other people. He went back to Jesus and praised God. I didn't go tell people about what God done at this point. This is all between me and God. This comes down to me praising my God because of what he's done in my life. And yeah, I'm sure at some point after this story, he probably did go tell the priest, because that's what you had to do to be ceremonially clean. But remember, he was a Samaritan. So the most important thing for him was not the religious stuff. It was praising God with a loud voice. And as I read through that and I studied over this, I thought, you know, great, he come back and he's praising God. He's not praising God in front of people. He's praising God. But then it says, with a loud voice. How long has it been since you and I truly praised God with a loud voice? Now, what do you understand it means? What do I understand it means when he says, with a loud voice? That means I want him to hear. And I don't care who else does. I'm going to praise God with a loud voice. That's where this man's heart was at. It wasn't just about the faith and the healing and the getting rid of leprosy. It was about praising God for loving him. God did something for him that he didn't deserve. He was in that group of 10 that had leprosy, that was kicked out, that was ostracized. And Jesus comes and heals me. Man, I don't deserve that. And I'm going to come back and I'm going to praise God with such a loud voice that I want him to know my love for him. And not only do I want him to know my love, I want to make sure that whoever listens. I don't care. I'm praising with a loud voice. You ever been in your place of work and you just think of something or you see something and this isn't the time or the place to praise God, because that may offend somebody. Or I don't want them to think that I'm trying to be super spiritual. Who cares what they think? If I'm supposed to praise God, I'm supposed to praise God with a loud voice. It's not about me. It's not about the people that are listening. It's not about the people that are being offended. It's not about the people that are going to think different of me. This is about me praising my God with a loud voice. Let's go on and look at the next one. It says that after he turned back, he praised God with a loud voice. And then he fell on his face at Jesus' feet. You know, a lot of times when we want to pray and when we are alone with God and we want to go to him in prayer, we will get down on our hands and knees and we'll pray to God. But that's not really what this is talking about. He's on his face. He is on his face, not on his knees. It doesn't say he's on his knees. It says he fell on his face. He fell prostrate before Jesus at his feet, on his face, in the dirt, worshiping Jesus. Well, I worship sitting in a cushy pew. And I might raise my hand occasionally. I may sing off key. But I don't care because I'm praising God. But am I truly at Jesus' feet? How long has it been since you truly saw yourself at Jesus' feet and you fell and nothing matters? You realize how low you are. You can't get any lower than when you're on your face. How long has it been since we've worshiped God like that? We love these instruments. We love these people to sing. We love to be able to be in a congregation and praise God and worship Him. But you know, I can be sitting there singing a praise and worship song and a verse go through my mind or something else go through my mind and immediately I'm distracted. It's like that cartoon where they're going along and all of a sudden somebody says, squirrel, and you lose it. That's the way I am sometimes. And that's probably the way you are too. But when I'm truly worshiping my God, I realize who He is. And on my face, I realize who I am. That's what He wants. That's true worship. It's not just singing how good He is. That's great. That's awesome. That's praise. And we want to do that. And I'm not taking anything away from that. But heartfelt worship at some time has to get me on my face before God. But that's uncomfortable. That's uncomfortable. It's a whole lot easier for me to get a cushion and put under my knees or just sit in my pew and bow my head. And there's nothing wrong with those, but sometimes we want to be comfortable in our worship. And I'm not talking about our locations here. I'm talking about in here. Because when I'm truly worshiping God, there is no room for me. And for us, that's uncomfortable. So he goes back and he's praising God with a loud voice and he falls on his face worshiping God. And he gives him thanks. You know, too many times, we have the idea that thanks is that thing that's tagged on at the end. You know, God did this great thing for me. He healed me of leprosy, and so I should go give Him thanks. Or God forgave me of my sins, so I should go give Him thanks. No, it goes back to that worship. God is God, and I should give Him thanks. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with Him. I should thank Him for everything. I should thank Him for His faithfulness. I should thank Him for His mercy, for His grace, for His love. Not because it's given to me, but just because He deserves it. But too many times, we only give thanks. We're conditioned to give thanks only when we get something. Right? That's what you teach your kids when they're little. You know, I have parents every single weekend that when I hand out suckers out front, what do you say? And that's a great thing. I'm not taking anything away from that. That is a great thing that we need to keep teaching. But sometimes as adults, it's like, well, I got to wait for God to give me that sucker before I say thanks. I got to wait for God to do something before I give Him thanks. God has already done more than you'll ever know, more than I'll ever know, and we should give Him thanks. Because look what happens. Again, I try to slide my page up on my Bible. It just doesn't work. I've tried it week after week. But He says here, after He praises with a loud voice, after He falls on His feet, and after He gives thanks, Jesus says, "Were not 10 cleansed, where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise except this foreigner?" And He said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Now, this term "well" is not "your faith has healed you." Now, there's other places in the Bible that Jesus says your faith has healed you. According to your faith, be it done unto you. But this term "well" means inside there's something else. And that's been made well. It's something that's happened inside you that's been changed. And so many times, I have an issue or something in my life, and I want to pray and I want to ask God, I want to cry out to Him, and He's going to heal me, and He does, and He takes care of the situation. But a lot of that has to do with outer problems, circumstances. And those things do need to be lifted up to God. Those things do need to be given to Him. But there are times when on the inside, I need everything made well. And the only way those things, those aren't physical things, those are spiritual things. He will bless and He will heal and He will touch, and He has, and we've all seen how He's been so faithful to the physical things. But man, I think sometimes I'm missing out on the spiritual things. I'm missing out on being made well because I miss out on doing what this guy does. I miss out on praising God with a loud voice. And I miss out on truly worshiping God. Well, I do it every Sunday. And I miss out on just thanking God for who He is. Not just what He's done, but for who He is. Because as I stop to thank God for what He's done and for who He is, I have to think about God. And that's what He wants for each of us, is for us to think about Him. And so as we look at these 9, like I said, they're not bad people. Now I want to go back and I want to plug us in. Because just like these lepers, there are people out there that see the sin in my life and they want to cast me away. They want to ostracize me because they know I have sin in my life. Well, you can't come to our church because you've got sin in your life. You can't claim to be a preacher because you've got sin in your life. You can't do this because we just want you to stay away because you have a problem. The same way these lepers did. But Jesus didn't cast them out. Other people who thought they were clean cast them out. And then there's that group of people that they were okay with it. You know, when I'm doing something, if I'm choosing to live a lifestyle that's not right, you know who's okay with that? The people that are doing the same thing. The other lepers. The others that are following that lifestyle. The others that are choosing that lifestyle. They're okay with me doing that. They're okay with me making that choice because it makes them feel better because they're not alone. Man, if I'm living in sin and there's somebody that's living in sin, it's like, hey, you go for it, man. Now I know I'm not the only one. But it comes down to the bottom here of that last group that knows, those that cast you out, those that accept you with your sin, and then there's that one person that has to live with it. And you've got to do the same two things that these guys had to do. You've got a choice. You can either just decide to stay unclean and just let everybody know, hey, I'm unclean. Willing to live with it. Or you can cry out to Jesus. These guys cried out. They went and they did everything they were supposed to do. They cried out to Jesus and Jesus healed them. The same way before I was a Christian, I knew I had a problem. I knew I had issues. I knew I had sin in my life. And I knew where I was headed. And I cried out to Jesus and He forgave me. And I lived for a long time in that group of nine that I knew Jesus healed me and I went on my way. And I made my way to the priest and I told people, this is what Jesus done for me. And there's nothing wrong with that, but there's still something missing. Because you and I, we miss out on that relationship part, that praising, that worshiping, that thanking, that's part of a relationship with Jesus that He died for. That's what we're missing. We're good church people. We are doing well. We are doing the things God has called us to do. But there's so much more out there. Because God inhabits the praises of His people. There is no better place to be than at the feet of Jesus. And thanking God for His faithfulness for all generations. It doesn't get any better than that. And I miss it. I'll catch a glimpse of it every Sunday. Maybe Sunday night, maybe Wednesday night. But how long has it been since we've just hung on to that? When we've seen that He has changed me and I want to spend time at His feet. I want people to know. I want people to understand what He's done. But more than what He's done, I want them to understand who He is. Now, I can tell people what Jesus did for me. I can tell people what Jesus has done for other people. But I want them to experience it themselves. And the only way that's going to happen is for me to get so involved with God that it rubs off. And it's not about me. It's about Jesus. It's about praising Him, worshiping Him, and thanking Him on a daily basis. Not because we have to check those things off on our list, but because that's what we want our relationship to focus on. Who God is. Maybe you're still in that group of nine and you're okay with being unclean. And just like it wasn't an accident that Jesus showed up at that city gate, it's not an accident that you're here today. Jesus made Himself available at that gate. He made Himself available that day on the cross. He's available today. And all you got to do is cry out to Him the same way they did. Man, Jesus, I've got a problem. And it's a problem like this leprosy that I can't deal with. It's sin. I can't handle it. You can't handle it. I have to give it to Him. I have to cry out to Him. And when I cry out to Him, then I've got to listen to Him. Believe in what He says for me to do. And He says, come to me. And I will take care of it. He'll take that sin upon His back, and He died on the cross. And you no longer have to be an outcast. You're not going to be perfect. These guys, when they went, they were healed of leprosy, but they had other problems. I still have problems. But all you've got to do is cry out and give it to Him and then follow Him. But don't stop there. Praise Him, worship Him, thank Him daily. And those of us that are Christians, that are good church-going people, are you satisfied where you're at? I hope not. Because the bottom line is, He's not satisfied where we are. We shouldn't be either. As we close this morning, I want us to think about the fact that we're in that nine. It's not all bad, but it's not where we need to stay. And I want to end with this one quote of Jesus. According to your faith, be it unto you. I can't do anything. The person beside you can't do anything. According to your faith, be it unto you. Let's stand, let's pray. Father God in heaven, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, I thank you for showing me that I'm in that nine. Lord, I thank you for showing me that I'm not content to be there. Lord, I pray for each person in this place that, Lord, they would just come face to face with you. Lord, that you would just touch them. Lord, teach us to praise you. Teach us to be what you want. I thank you for all you do. Move in this place in a mighty way. May we not quench your spirit. In your name we pray. Amen.